Blog Talk Radio.
Life has few guarantees, but there's one important guarantee you can count on from Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company. Our guaranteed acceptance whole life insurance can help protect your family when you no longer can. Your acceptance is guaranteed if you're between the ages of 50 and 85, and it's easy to apply with no health exams or health questions asked. Guaranteed. And affordable coverage options to fit almost every budget. For free information, visit ColonialPenn.com. That's ColonialPenn.com.
Money talks, so put your money where your mouth is. Be a voice today by donating to Be a Voice. Cash App, $ Be a Voice Tour. That's $ BEAVOICETOUR. Be a Voice Tour. Or donate via Venmo at Be a Voice. If you would like to donate via credit card, you must call the Be a Voice office at 844-642-8378, extension 111. Again, 844-642-8378, extension 111. Be a Voice today. This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the Commissioner of WENN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J. You're now tuned into WBNN News Forum, brought to you by Singularity Time Multimedia, with host and anchor, investigative reporter, Chinchilla J. Hey, everybody, this is your girl, Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J, the queen of justice. Tonight is Sunday, March 12th, 2023. It is still Women's History Month, and my guests tonight are two mothers who are making history in the present day by demanding answers and demanding justice. Denise Singleton, mother of 30-year-old Kyle Singleton, who was gunned down and shot 7 times last year, May 11th, 2022. No witnesses, no suspects, no real investigation. Mrs. Singleton wants answers, but she's not getting any from the Philadelphia Police Department or from the DA's office. So she is speaking out tonight, demanding justice for her son, Kyle. Karen Brookins, the mother of Marcus Boone. Marcus fell to his death last March 2022, March 18th. This coming Saturday will mark the 1 year anniversary of Marcus's passing. Marcus stood on the ledge of a bypass overlooking the highway. For 3 long hours, Marcus was tormented by bystanders, police officers. There were even mental health professionals on the scene. No one attempted to help Marcus. No one prevented Marcus from jumping. But did Marcus jump, or did he fall, or was Marcus pushed? These are the answers that
Marcus's mother and his family want? These are answers that they deserve. Why weren't they contacted by the authorities? Why was Marcus in the hospital as a John Doe? Why did detectives and police say that Marcus was from the homeless encampment? Is this why Marcus died that day? Well, both mothers tonight are demanding answers, and both mothers are demanding justice. So tonight I shout justice for Kyle. Tonight I shout justice for Marcus.
These mothers need closure. And without the answers and without justice for their sons, closure cannot happen. Let's help Karen Brookins and Denise Singleton and their families fight for justice.
So, don't you dare go nowhere. Keep it right there. News Forum with your girl. We'll be right back after this.
Right the Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice would like to thank sponsor Sound Therapy with Magic Man Haru LLC, offering sound therapy as a form to bring the best instead of the beast out of us. Thank you, Magic Man Haru LLC, for your sponsorship of Be a Voice. Find out how you can also be a sponsor by dialing 844-642-8378 extension 111 to continue the advocacy work to free the wrongfully incarcerated, to end mass incarceration and child life without the possibility of parole. For more information, contact Be a Voice at 78 Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m., extension 111. Be a Voice today. Thank you to my millions of listeners worldwide. News Forum with your girl Chinchilla J now has over
21
million listeners. News Forum broadcasts live each and every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WBNN. News Forum is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Chinchilla Jonesia is host and anchor and investigative reporter. If you're listening tonight via the World Wide Web and would like to talk, comment, vent, or ask a question, you must dial 516-453-9133. Again, that number is 516-453-9133. If you're already listening tonight via phone and would like to talk, comment, vent, share a story of injustice or corruption, or ask a question to one of our guests, please press 1 and you will be placed into the caller queue. Please keep in mind that while News Forum is a very controversial show with many controversial topics as well as controversial callers and guests, and while we allow freedom of speech for all, we ask that you refrain from using profanity. And also, keep in mind that some of the views of our guests as well as our hosts are not always the views of News Forum, WBNN, or Ngozi Time Multimedia. To reach Chinchilla Jonesia after the show, you may call her Monday through Friday at 844-642-8378, extension 888. Again, that number is 844-642-8378, extension 888. Like and follow Ms. Controversy herself, Chinchilla Jonesia, on Facebook, and at Princess Chinchilla on Instagram. Chinchilla has one L. And now, here she is, host and anchor, investigative reporter, Chinchilla Jay.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Chinchilla Jonesia. Thank you for tuning in tonight. And, wow, tonight is a very, very touching show due to the fact that both of my guests tonight have lost children and their mothers. And, yes, this is still Women's History Month. And these women, to me, they are making history because they are relentlessly fighting for justice for their sons. They're fighting for answers, answers that they have not yet received. And, you know, it's really such a shame that here in the city of Philadelphia, there's so many things going on. Gun violence every day, people being shot, people being killed every single day. And then we have other types of issues that are going on, which people just don't want to talk about that much. And that's mental illness, mental health. And there are so many people that are suffering with mental health issues. And the city of Philadelphia needs to do better. They need to do better when addressing issues such as that, because they don't do better. They don't do a good job at all. And we're going to hear from Karen Brookins tonight, who's going to talk about her son, Marcus. You know, it's such a shame. And, you know, I know Karen. She's a friend. And to see Karen suffer, you know, with losing her son in such a manner, it's just so heartbreaking and so sad. And my other guest, Denise Singleton, I met her on Friday at Jamal Johnson SKU's kickoff for his 7th anniversary, marching to Washington, D.C., to fight against this senseless gun violence here in the city of Philadelphia. And I met Denise and her family. They were marching with us, holding up signs for her son, Kyle, who was gunned down last year. And, you know, that to me was so very heartbreaking as well. And it's ridiculous that no answers have been provided as to what happened to her son. It's just ridiculous. The city needs to do better. This police department needs to do better. The detectives need to do better. It's ridiculous, people. So we're going to speak with both mothers tonight. And my heart goes out to both of you. And I cannot express my feelings of sadness for you, and my heart aches for both of you. And we're demanding answers. We want answers, Philadelphia. We want answers in the death of Marcus Boone and in the death of Kyle Singleton. We want answers tonight, and we are demanding justice, and we're demanding answers. And we need the city of Philadelphia to do something so that these two mothers can find some type of closure. It's just ridiculous. Philadelphia, get it together. Get it together. How can you not be sensitive to the request of these mothers? How can you not do something to help these mothers? I mean, you have the answers. You know what happened. It's just so ridiculous. You know, we're the witnesses. Had to be some witnesses. So anyway, both of these cases were two separate, different types of deaths. And no matter how the death occurs, a death is a death. and a mother is mourning the loss of her child. And I am so tired and fed up with these insensitive people that we deal with in this city of Philadelphia. And I don't care if you're the mayor, I don't care if you're a city council, if you're a detective, an investigator, a police officer, whoever you are, and you have no heart. It's just unbelievable the way this city handles crises and the way they handle homicides. It's absolutely horrendous, and it is downright pathetic. And people, we have to start speaking up. Now, you know, usually every Sunday we're talking about wrongful convictions, but we also address gun violence here on News Forum. We also address mental illness here on News Forum and all types of other things that go on in this country. And we also talk about injustices in America, no matter what type of injustice it is. And a grave injustice has been handed to Denise Singleton and her family, and to Karen Brookins and her family. And justice is what we're demanding, Philadelphia. So before we go any further, let me speak with Caroline tonight. We're going to talk with her for a moment, and she has court early in the morning, so I'm not sure if she's on yet or not. I don't think she is, but Francetta Mays is. So let's speak with Francetta Mays really quickly before we start speaking with our guest tonight. Pastor Mays, how are you this evening?
Well, I'm giving God the glory. We're certainly in a season where we're having to deal with a lot of spiritual warfare. So like your guest tonight, you know, I'm just tired. I'm tired of the same old, same old. You know, it's not just Philadelphia. This is a epidemic that's going on while we're, you know, we have our eyes closed to so many laws and things that must change. It's no longer a now start taking action.
Yes, definitely. We have to take action because, you know, things are just, they're not getting any better. And it's just so ridiculous. And, you know, the first mother that we're going to talk to tonight, Pastor Mays, is Denise Singleton. And her son, Kyle Singleton, 30 years old, in the prime of his life, a well-rounded man, an entrepreneur.
All right, Chinchilla, you're breaking it out.
And he was making a difference.
Okay, there you go.
Making a difference.
All right, hold on.
Hold on,
Chinchilla. Chinchilla, hold on. One check till you're fading in and out, so we'll make sure that you're clear. Speak on the mic for a second.
Yes, this is Chinchilla Donesia.
All right, thank God. You're clear now. Go ahead and speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just the same. He had his whole life ahead of him, and he was making a difference in the lives of others. He was well-loved, well-liked, and to have his life just taken away from him, it's just so very sad. So I have Pastor Mays on here tonight, Karen and Denise, because before the end of the show, we're definitely going to pray for the both of you and for your families. Right now, we're going to play a song. It's called God's Grace, or The Grace of God. So take a listen to this song.
Hope. I've come through worse before, but I have never walked alone. I've been kept by the grace of God.
Sherry, and wow, it's by God's grace, everyone, that we are still here right now, and we all have been through different trials and tribulations, but my guests tonight have been through a great deal more than a lot of us have, and we want to be very sensitive and very mindful and very attentive to these stories that they're going to tell tonight. And they're not just stories. These are real life events. Just as the wrongful convictions are all real life events, so are these two mothers' stories as to what happened to their handsome, loving sons. And, wow, we're going to speak with Denise Singleton first tonight, and we're going to welcome her to the show. Denise, how are you tonight? And welcome to News Forum.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good evening, Dr. Chinchilla. I'm fine this evening.
Okay. Well, it was an absolute pleasure meeting you on Friday and your family. And your fight for justice, there's people that are supporting your fight for justice, and more people will join in your fight for justice for Kyle. Now, I'm not going to ask you too many questions. I want you to first tell us about Kyle as a person.
Kyle was a wonderful person. He was a playful guy. He was a smart guy. He was articulate. He was handsome. He was caring, kind-hearted. He was everything that you want in a son and a friend and an uncle, you know, and everything. Kyle meant the world to us, all of us, including his friends. Kyle would do anything for anyone. Helping people made him happy. He cleaned in his own company. In between cleaning, he did residential and commercial cleaning. Kyle traveled. He was smart. He's been working since he was 16 years old. He sold seafood platters in the summertime. As a kid, he was the same kind of man that he was as a kid. He was the same. Kyle still has the same friends from 7 and 8 years old. He still has them all. Kyle meets people every day, and those same people love him once they meet him. He was a loving guy. And we miss Kyle so much, and we don't know what happened, but we won't stop trying to find out what happened to him. Kyle wasn't a street guy. He wasn't a drug dealer. He didn't carry a gun. He was everything that a thug wasn't. And today, we seek answers. If anyone would happen to know anything, I appreciate it if they let us know so we could seek justice for the murder of Kyle.
Yes. Now, Denise, so on the day of Kyle's death, now, I know, like, the night before, I think he went to stay over a friend's house in Brewery Town.
Yes.
Now, do you know that friend?
Yes, I know that friend.
And so when he was murdered, where was that friend at that time? Do you know?
So Kyle was on his way home at the time of the murder. It was just very weird because his tracks had changed. So he was walking. He wasn't driving his car. So he was coming home. If Kyle didn't come in the house overnight, he would be coming home early in the morning. It was just me and Kyle who lived together. I didn't talk to Kyle that morning, but I talked to him overnight. So his tracks had kind of changed from coming in the direction of home to kind of being back in the same neighborhood where he was leaving. And that's pretty much what I know about his leaving to come home. He wasn't coming home where he was, because home is not there. Home is not in that direction. So it was like he was kind of back in the same neighborhood. He left 30th and Master, and he made it only to the 1800 block of 28th Street. That's not going towards home anymore.
Okay.
And we just received a phone call. I had got a call from one of Kyle's friends. If Kyle didn't come in the house overnight, he always came in the morning. It wouldn't be 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It would be 9 o'clock in the morning. And he never made it home that day.
Wow. That is just so tragic and sad. Now, did Kyle have any enemies that you know of?
Kyle didn't have not one enemy that we knew of. Every friend that Kyle had, everybody loved Kyle. He didn't have trouble in the street. He was not the type of guy that would come home and say, oh, I was just fighting. You know, he wasn't that type of guy. He was the guy that would break up a fight or try to break up one if he saw, you know, if he could.
Yes.
He was just a helpful guy.
Wow.
He didn't have any problems that we knew of. And we are a very close family. So if it was anything going on for Kyle, even if he didn't tell me, he would have told somebody else. He has three sisters. I lost my oldest son 12 years ago to a fire. So Kyle kind of stepped up to be the big brother. So somebody, if he had trouble in the street, we would have known because we sit at the table on a daily basis together. When he left the night before, he didn't leave here like he was in trouble because he was here. So if he was in trouble, he would have never left.
Wow. Wow.
I spoke to Kyle maybe 2 hours because I did speak to Kyle overnight, maybe about 1 or 1:30 in the morning, the night he left.
Okay.
And he never made it back home.
Wow. And how many siblings does Kyle have here? You have boys, right?
Three sisters, yes.
Go ahead.
Three sisters.
Okay. All right. And he has cousins and so many family members.
He has cousins.
You know,
uncles. He has about 50 best friends.
Yes.
He has so many best friends.
Wow.
And each and every one of them.
Read
everything to him.
Yes. Yes. And I've heard nothing but good things about Kyle from all that know him, knew him. Nothing but good things, and he seems to have been a very remarkable young man with a lot going on for himself, and, you know, he was established and sound and focused, and, you know, it's just so ridiculous that this has happened. And when you received the call, you know, as a matter of fact, I don't even want to ask you how you know, you react or anything like that. Okay, so this happened May 11th, 2022. So in about 2 months from now, will be the anniversary.
Yesterday made 10
months. Yesterday was March 11th. And how have you and your family, especially his sisters and you, his father, how have you all been coping and handling Kyle's passing?
So we've make it pretty good. Everyone is pretty much depressed, but depressed and can make it. You know, we all go to work.
Yeah.
Honestly, I took a job after this happened to Kyle. I wasn't working at the time, but I said, go do something with yourself. So I've been working since last July. And so we are very close. So I spend so much time with Kyle's friends and everything now because I think that helps them and it helps me. And we're always here. All of Kyle's people are always here, still every day. We cook, we eat, we sing, we dance, we look at the videos, the old videos of Kyle. If on Instagram and Facebook, Kyle is still there every day, every day. So Kyle is very missed, very missed.
Mm.
And
wow.
I'm so sorry that this had to happen to my son, but I won't stop seeking justice until we get it. Somebody has to know something.
Yes. Yes, somebody definitely has to know something. I mean, that was
you know, in the morning, like daytime.
Daylight.
People are outside. People are going to work. People are, you know, doing different things. I mean, in that area, 28th Street, I mean, in Brewery Town, somebody had to see something. I know somebody saw something. And for nothing to come about, and this is what's so really frustrating is in this city, where there are all these unsolved homicides, where mm-hmm. nobody sees anything, nobody wants to say anything and speak up. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. So that means that these killers, they're still out there to kill someone
yep.
else. And, you know,
we even started a GoFundMe.
A doggone thing. Wow.
We recently started a GoFundMe page to add, the city gave us a $20,000 reward, and we want to add 10 more thousand to it if we can.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I was going to mention that $20,000 reward that, you know, for someone that gave information. I mean,
mm-hmm.
really, that was last year, people, last year, okay, that reward was out there and is still there. If you know anything, somebody has to know something. Somebody saw something. Please help Denise and her family find closure and fight for justice for Kyle. You know, help them fight. Don't sit back and not say anything. And, you know, you can be anonymous. You don't even have to give your information up. Call and tell something. Say something. And, you know, a lot of people are afraid. They, you know, afraid that, you know, they may become
mm-hmm.
a target if they speak
mm-hmm.
up. But you can be remain anonymous, people. But definitely speak up and speak out. Stay right there for a moment, Denise. We have a caller.
Okay.
Let's take a caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight? Caller, you're live on the air. Okay.
Hello.
Press one, people that. Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Is it me that's on? I don't know who's on.
Yes. Yes.
Hi, Cynthia. It's Ava Holly. How are you? How are you?
Hey, Ava. How are you? Good.
How are you? I'm
good,
hanging in
good.
There. I just wanted to call in and support your show. But first of all, I didn't hear your second guest yet, but my heart goes out to both of your guests. I mean, I'm a mother, and I just, it's something unimaginable. I mean, they say we worry about our kids all the time, and it's the truth. I just can't imagine what
yeah.
you're going through. Has there ever been a thought about hiring a private detective, even with, like, some of this money that you've raised? Like, maybe there's a private detective that could dig up something?
Yes, we did. We talked about that as well. And we may be going in that direction soon. When we were at the rally mm-hmm. the other day, I had a retired detective come to me, and he said that he would like to help me. So
oh,
I have
that's
that
awesome.
Going on now. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm thinking if you find somebody that's halfway decent, you might get some answers, but no answer is going to bring your baby back, you know, so that's the saddest thing. But I appreciate, you know, what you're doing to get justice, because I would do the same thing. So my
Thank
heart
you.
Goes out to you. God bless you. And, you know, continue that work. And Dr. Chinchilla, you're amazing.
Yeah.
You know, you bring to the great WBNN family, you know, all of this. And it's hard. Your topics are hard. And, you know, hats off to you for handling it in such a professional manner. So, again, just wanted to say, hey, support your show, tell you how I feel about your guests tonight. And that's it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ava. This is Ava. And she's a host on this network as well. Denise, her show is called The Casual Chat. And Ava,
okay.
when is your next show? Is it this week?
Yes, this week coming up Wednesday. We've got an amazing guest coming on. So I hope you guys will tune in and join the Casual Chat. And again, enjoy the rest of your show.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Ava. All right. That detective, he was the investigator. Yeah, he was very nice. Friday, and that's awesome that he wants to help. And, you know, anybody else out there that's listening, you know, if you want to help this family fight for justice, help find some people. I mean, you know, what did the city do, Denise? What did the detectives do? Did they go and knock on people's doors to try to find witnesses? Did they do anything?
We saw a video, but we don't know the person. And the guy is really covered up. That's about all that we know. And he did show us, like, he did get videos from different places and things like that, but they're kind of patchy, so it's not a straight video. It's just from different angles.
Right.
So we, you know, and we didn't know the guy.
Okay. Yeah. And it's so ridiculous because that's a residential neighborhood. And a lot of people these days have those cameras in their, you know, their little cameras that show you outside of their home what's going on and all that stuff. And, wow. Who is the detective that investigated the homicide?
Our detective is Detective Gall.
Okay. Wow. And did he try to get any... I mean, it's just so ridiculous. It just seems like there should be more that they should be out there doing.
Yeah, I just think that, I don't know, I would do some other things this far into it if I was a detective.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm trying to, I don't want to be, I wanted the detective to be able to do his work. So I don't want to...
Yeah.
But I don't know how much time, you know, how much more time we have. I just think that now we're getting down to a crunch, you know. And I don't want this to go away.
Mm-hmm.
We have to keep it moving. So I will be downtown.
Yeah.
We used to do our marches in the neighborhood where this happened at. We walked from where Kyle was to where this happened at. And we did that for the last 6 months. And then now we came downtown. This was our second time coming downtown on Friday. Because I just felt like it's time to move from there and go somewhere else. And that was where we chose to go next. So we did get we did get offered into the building and spoke to, like, the head of the detectives the first time we went down there. And that was pretty, you know, I appreciated that. And he was nice enough to talk to us, and he didn't rush us out. And gave us some insight that we didn't have. And, you know, so that happened. But we will remain downtown once a month. That's where we'll be going from now on until we decide on the new spot to go.
Okay. Now, is there any particular day that you go each month, or is it different every time?
So now we go the closest Friday to the 11th. We used to march on Saturdays. On Saturdays or Sundays, but now we won't go to downtown on a Saturday or Sunday because we want to go on a weekday, so we chose Friday.
Okay.
And we usually go noon to two on a Friday, normally before the 11th of the month.
Okay. So everybody, you hear that? You can join Denise Singleton and her family out there marching and protesting and rallying. Now, is it outside of the DA's office, or?
So we meet at the police headquarters, and the other day, that was the first time that we walked down to the DA's office. The first time we stayed at the police headquarters. So from now on, we'll meet at the police headquarters, and we'll walk down, and we'll come back.
Okay, so that is 400 North Broad Street, everybody, police headquarters. If you want to join in and help fight for justice for Kyle Singleton, please meet the Singleton family there on the next month on that Friday before the 11th of April. So definitely go down there, show some support to this family. They need support. So stand up and fight for them, for Kyle, because he did not deserve to be gunned down like that at all. And oh my God, my heart just goes out. Your son's so very handsome and intelligent, and oh my God, my heart just aches for you. And we're going to help you fight for justice. And, you know, whatever you all can do, if you can think of some ways to be strategic and find answers, they need your help, okay? They need your help. And what is your GoFundMe page, Denise?
The Kyle Kabani Singleton Foundation, because we also started a foundation in Kyle's name in October. Since then, we gave out maybe close to 100 turkeys, meals for Thanksgiving, and we had a toy drive, and we gave away toys this year.
Okay.
And we'll be doing the same next year.
Wow. Wow, that is so very awesome.
We're going to cook for the Muslims one day during the month of Ramadan as well.
Okay. And everybody, I will put that GoFundMe up on Mike Test Entertainment TV's Facebook page. That's MIC Test Entertainment TV. Mike Test Entertainment TV's Facebook page. You'll find that GoFundMe up on that page tomorrow. Let's take another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hello, hello. This is Mr. Boston from WBNNN. I'm a host of the Boston Chronicles. But, Mr., I'm sending you condolences. Okay. I'm sending you condolences. But listen to me very carefully so you'll know. I am from the streets of South Central Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And people are not, I mean, the person, people could be standing right there and they won't say anything or do anything. These people today, it's not about justice or helping other people out of fear. And you're right. You're exactly right. Somebody knows something and somebody saw something. I can tell you for fact, the streets talk. But this is the thing. Fear has set in because they don't want to talk because there could be ramifications. And let me tell you something that I know for a fact, because I have friends that work in the sheriff's department. I have two friends that work for the FBI. And this is how this goes. They showed you that film or the sketchy film of the person that supposedly had committed this crime. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let me make it plain and clear to you. The detectives know. They know. But it's not what they know. It's what they can prove.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not telling you. They're telling you the basic stuff. Because if they told you everything that they know, there's a possibility that that information might get out and it might spook the culprit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
I understand
it gets really deep. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So listen to me very carefully. Just be patient. Be really, really patient and give it to God, because God is going to send you a message with that person's name and who that person is. The police already know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I'm telling you, it's not what they know, it's what they can prove, and they don't want to get your hopes up high and this person gets away. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just mark my words. Something is going to happen. Listen, really, the police is really protecting your family, because listen, if they put it out there they know who that killer is, there's a possibility that something might come back on your family, okay? So do not worry about it. They know. But the thing of it is they got to get this guy. They got to get him in committing another crime, and then they're going to allow the bomb to drop on him. You understand what I'm saying? That's what's happening. They know. Believe me, don't nothing go on in the street in no big city that the police do not know. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So just be very patient. Just be very patient, because that answer you're seeking is going to come to you, and you're going to be surprised at the person who did it.
Who did it?
You're going to be very, very surprised. You're going to say, no way possible. I'm telling you, it's somebody that he knows, and it's somebody that you know, somebody in your family that knows that person. That person is very close. Because the way you describe this family member is very fun-loving, but he's very cautious and not let too many people get close to him unless he can trust them. You understand? So this is what plays out in the puzzle, because nobody knows this person. This person got too close to him, and the person did the ultimate crime by taking another person's life. God don't like ugly. When I say God don't like ugly, he do not like ugly. Two things gonna happen. The police is gonna arrest him, or he's gonna commit another crime of likewise. Because see, one thing about a killer, I'll tell you this. One thing about a killer, once a person kills, he don't think twice about doing it again. Okay? So what happens is they make the mistake. They make the mistake and get arrested. Or, correct, karma is going to come back with a short dress on, 6-inch stiletto, going to look him dead in the face, and he's going to tell him, remember what you did? This is what's about to be happening to you. And that's Mr. Boston, ladies and gentlemen, from the Boston Chronicles. I'll be on the air in a few more days. I think the next Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken, Ngozi, next Tuesday is my day.
That is correct. That is correct. You on this week is Tara Stripp, and then the next Tuesday is you. And then I really appreciate what you said tonight.
All right.
Y'all come through, everybody. If y'all come through and speak to this lady and support this lady, and Dr. Chinchilla, you need to send me all that information she gave you, because I'm gonna try to do something on this end here for the foundation and stuff.
Okay.
So y'all come on through and support WBNN. We live all the way from California, y'all.
Yeah.
We love you, baby. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Some very interesting stuff.
Yes, interesting.
He did. Just to think about it, and, you know, wow. We're called in. We're going to thank you, going Karen. Caller, you're here with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Bulls Brothers, represent from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia. Yo, where it's four, when if it's 4 o'clock in the morning, you can get the coldest 40-ounce in the United States of America from down there on 13th and Venango at the Speakeasy around the corner from Max's Cheesesteaks. Good evening tonight, and good evening to your guest tonight, Dr. Lady Chinchilla Jomedia. Well, first, I just want to stab in because, first of all, Clev One's been out here hunting down killers for quite a few decades now. You know what I'm saying? So I know the procedures and the protocol on how to do these things. You know what I mean? But while I'm on here real quick, I'm going to give you a few pointers of advice. You know what I mean? First of all, these friends here, 50 of them, whatever it is, we're going to go ahead and rough it down to the top five of them. You know what I'm saying? Then we're going to take them top five, you know what I mean, and we're going to make a square radius on the distances between their households. You know what I'm saying? And furthermore, you know what I'm saying, what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and do some homework on that frequency of traveling. You see what I'm saying? Now, these services are not particularly online that you can order these services online. However, you can holler at Club One, one half of the Booze Brothers, you know what I'm saying, and meet me on Broad Street or anywhere where you want to meet me at, you know what I'm saying, any avenue with, uh-huh. with stores, with dollar stores on them. You see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Because at the end of the day, I come straight from the streets out here, where it's front line off the battlefield. You know what I mean? All city where, you know, that all the little nephews and little cousins, you know what I'm saying, they got rifles out here. Some of them don't make it. Y'all seen Saving Private Ryan. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying to you is these are things in that we have to, that we've become accustomed to, and hunting these killers down, you know what I'm saying, and then finding out what's going on. Because, again, just like Mr. Boston said, right, the police know what's going on, but the question is which police knows? So we don't have time to be looking for a needle in a haystack. Where's Waldo police officer? You see what I'm saying? You feel
yes.
me? Yeah, so we don't do that, you know what I mean? But of course, y'all seen the SWAT team movie, you know what I'm saying? However, it's in the reverse kind. That's where Glad One get down. We use the reverse kind on that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying to you is we find them however we find them, if they need to be found and justice needs to be served. You feel what I'm saying? If this is an unjust situation, because some of our children be out here doing things on this Bitcoin, you know, where they not in the street selling drugs, but they doing Bitcoins and all kinds of blue-collar federal
mm-hmm.
penitentiary crimes, you understand, where we
mm-hmm.
won't ever have a clue on who the hell they dealing with, because we don't see them on the corners, you know what I'm saying, because they not on the corner, they in a fast car
mm-hmm.
on the highway, you know what I'm saying, going from state to state,
right.
doing things that we have no clue that what they got going on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Furthermore, you need education and mannerisms and etiquettes to do these type of crimes. So you never know what's going on. But however, how we going to find out is these 50 friends we got going on. You know what I'm saying? So that's how we going to do that. You know what I mean? Y'all seen Van Helsing, except Clev One is the street kind. Y'all better, if y'all know who Van Helsing is, that's how we, that'll be a flick for y'all tonight, because we hunt down the gremlins and mm-hmm. demons. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I'm Clever One. One half of the Booze Brothers, represent from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where you might not know which one of your baby moms get on your nerves the most. Check your satellites.
All right. Thank you so much, Clev One. He's the host on here as well. So it's called Stand Up to Six. We're going to take another caller. And, Denise, I want you to stay on bring on
Hello.
Karen in a few moments.
Okay.
Right
mm-hmm.
after this caller. How are you, caller?
Hello.
Welcome.
I'm doing
Hello.
Well. It's Genesis Amaris Kemp. It's Genesis Amaris Kemp. How are you? I'm
you.
A fellow. Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Dr. Chinchilla. It's Genesis Amaris Kemp.
Hi, Genesis.
Hello. Hi, how are you? Sorry, the line was going in and out. So I'm calling to just support your show tonight and support Miss Denise. Miss Denise, my condolences to you for the
Thank
loss
you.
Of Kyle. And I
Thank
just
you.
Pray that someone comes forth and they feel convicted to share any information that they have regarding your son's death. And may you get the peace, the discernment, some ease that you need to help, you know, soothe yourself, even though it's not going to bring your son Kyle back. I just pray that someone is convicted to share any information that they may have about what went down, and they encourage other people to do the same. And from one mother to another mother, I have no idea what you're feeling and what you're going through, but I'm standing in solidarity with you tonight for your loss, for your family, and those that may have been impacted by Kyle's senseless murder. And
Thank
it's just
you.
Heart-wrenching. I'm a fellow
Thank you so much.
WBNN. My pleasure. You're welcome. And I'm a fellow WBNN host here on the radio. So if you ever want
okay.
to just spread the awareness about this, I'm definitely here for you, because it's going to take more people coming together to get justice for Kyle, and the more people that can hear this story and stand in solidarity with you and your family, the better. So
yes.
people can constantly become aware of what has happened, and they can rally to stop these senseless shootings, violences, and et cetera, because when it affects one person, it affects everyone, because a child is a child.
Yes, it does.
A lost one is a lost one. A life is a life. And if you don't give life, who's to say that you have the power to take life? And when you carry a baby inside of you for however long and that baby goes from your life, it's just heart-wrenching, and no words, no feelings can bring your child back, no matter what somebody says or what somebody feels. So my heart just goes out to you and your loved ones tonight, and I just pray that you get the answers that you are looking for and that it may give you some closure as you go through your life every day, day by day.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Genesis, for calling in tonight. And quickly tell everybody when your next show is.
So I will be on air tomorrow night. So Monday, March 13th, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Central, and I will be highlighting women fire starters who are making impacts and imprints for Women's History Month. So be sure to dial in, share about your story, anyone else in your life that you may know that may be making an impact. And that's tomorrow night, March 13th, here on WBNN, Gems with Genesis, Amaris Kemp.
All right. Thank you so much, Genesis. All right, Denise, stay on the line, and we're going to bring on Karen. And we're going to bring Karen now to hear about her son, Marcus Boone, a very sad story, another sad, tragic story here. Geez. All right, everybody, welcome Karen Brookins to the show now. Karen, how are you this evening?
Hi, good evening, Chinchilla. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, Karen.
That's good.
Go ahead.
First of all, just wanted to say to Denise my sincerest, heartfelt condolences in the loss of Kyle. You know, one of the things that I'm learning is it's nice to have condolences and cards and support, but what you and I both understand now is that absolutely nothing will bring back that piece of our heart that's forever gone. But that doesn't mean that it's not appreciated, you know, but it's just something. This is a new way of life and a new way of living, and I don't wish this on anyone. And I just want you to know that my prayers are with you and your family, that you find the person responsible for Kyle's death.
Yes. Thank you so much, Karen, for offering those condolences, extending that to Denise and her family. Wow. So, Karen, now, Marcus, your son, Marcus, another very handsome man, you know, very handsome. And bubbly, and you know, and his life was just snuffed out from him last year, March 18th. And so this coming Saturday, we'll be embarking 1 year on his tragic death. And I know that you want answers. Your family wants answers. You want justice. Your family wants justice. I want to see justice for Marcus as well, and so many others want to see justice and want and demand answers as to what happened to Marcus that day. Before you talk about that day, Karen, just let the listeners know what type of man Marcus was.
Okay, thank you, Chinchilla. Marcus was my only son, the oldest of two, but my only son. I was born on New Year's Day. He was a New Year's baby. Marcus loved sports. He had a passion for cooking. He was a great baseball player, basketball player, football player. He loved children. He was very affectionate. Marcus was a big guy, so he was like a big teddy bear, you know. He had this big, harsh, stern exterior, but he loved children. He was very good with children. He's a father of one daughter. And since his passing, he became a grandfather in October to a grandson, my great-grandson. His name is Enzo. Marcus was very close to our family. We were all of us were very, very close. My mother's still living, and she suffered since she's been gone. Our family has truly been devastated by this loss. It was sudden. It was unexpected. And what makes matters worse is it's unanswered. And those that were put to in place to protect him, to assist him, did nothing. There's not much more I can, there's a lot more I can say about who Marcus was, but it is overshadowed by our pain and our grief and our frustration as to what happened to him on that day, March 18th.
Wow. Yeah, Karen. So tell everybody that day, March 18th of last year, as Marcus was up on, now what was it, like a bypass over the highway that he was standing on? Okay.
Yeah.
And from some photos and different things I've seen, you know, people were out there and, you know, police officers were out there, others were out there, bystanders, and it just really blows my mind that no one out there tried to help Marcus. That, you know, and I know this is bothering you because no one tried to help him. From my understanding, he was there for 3 hours, 3 hours, and no one attempted to assist him. 3 hours. No one put down any of the proper things to go on the ground, you know, to blow up things, to go on the ground, the cushiony things to for someone to land on if they fall or if they jump. They had ample time to do all of this, but yet none of that was done. Karen, I mean, my heart just goes out to you because it has to be extremely hard for you dealing with this, knowing that all of the people that were there and they did nothing and no one is providing you with any answers. And it's just beyond my imagination. Like, what were they doing? It's craziness. Had they taken the proper protocol that they should have, and their training, they should have been trained to do what they needed to do, but yet they had SWAT officers out there, guns out there for a man that was unarmed and was not a threat to anyone. It's just crazy. How are you dealing with that, Karen? I mean, have you been badgering them to find out answers? And what have they been saying to you?
Okay, so let me just start with on that morning on March 18th, Marcus had called me very early in the morning around 7 o'clock, and he told me that his stomach hurt. He had been having some health issues. So I had told him to go to the hospital, go to the Jefferson Hospital, because he had been there not too long before that. So basically, you know, they would have his records and just to go there. And, you know, once he got there to call me or have the nurses call me, and then I would make my way to the hospital. I live some distance away from Philadelphia. So he said, okay, Mom. And we said, all right, I love yous. And he hung up the phone. And I was expecting a phone call. So I, you know, took my shower and was kind of waiting around a little bit. And then I started to make my way to Pennsylvania to drive, you know, expecting him to call or some hospital to call and say he was there and I was going to just go and join him there. The call never came, but what happened was on my way there, once I crossed the Walt Whitman Bridge, the traffic was horrendously backed up, and it routed me south of 95 versus north of 95, and I didn't know why at that time, but the traffic had been backed up for some time. Long story short, one of my nieces sent me a picture shortly before noon and asked if I could look at this picture and that it looked like Marcus and that this person was on Woodhaven and Knights Road hanging from the overpass. And I saw the picture. It looked grainy. It looked a little like him from the back, but it just didn't make sense to me that I had talked to him at 7 o'clock in the morning and he was on the other end of town. So it was like, no, maybe it could be him, but no, I don't think so, because it doesn't make sense that he would be all the way there, up there. And so in that time, I just asked my niece to have her friend call me so I could verify this picture, calling 911, because I just needed to do something, you know, to make sure. And I'll just fast forward through all of the details, but after a few minutes on the phone with 911 and then asking me to describe him and the whole nine, the woman said, you know, we do have someone that suits that description. And she said, but the police have him. And I said, oh, okay, well, where are they taking him? What district? Because just tell them, please don't arrest him. Like, I couldn't imagine. And I'm like, if he was up there, he's having a mental health crisis. And I said to the woman, and I was relieved that they had him, you know. I was upset that it was him by what she said. And so she said, well, no, the police are not arresting him, ma'am. They took him for treatment. And I said, oh, they took him for treatment. She said, yes, they took him to the hospital for treatment. And then she said, would you like me to transfer you? So I said, yes. And moving forward, so she transferred me, and then the hospital receptionist didn't have any record of him being there. So there was a lot of going back and forth, confusion. Finally, after a few minutes on the phone with the woman without telling all the details, then I was going to come there, you know, thinking that he was there for mental health treatment. They were going to get him situated or whatever, because then she confirmed that there was somebody in the emergency room that fit his description. And I said, okay, good. So he's going to be getting treatment. And she said, yes. And I said, okay, well, I'll be there shortly. I'll be there in a little while. The traffic's really backed up. So, you know, I'll be there in a little while. Just tell him I love him, you know, let the nurses know that I'll be there. And then the woman said, no, listen, I'm not supposed to say too much, but somebody needs to get here soon. Now that shifted everything. And I'm like, what do you mean? And I could tell by the urgency of her voice that it was not just that he was there for treatment of mental health or what have you. So I immediately hung up and said, I'm coming. And I called my family because of the traffic was still being backed up, not realizing that the traffic had been backed up for 3 hours because he was on the overpass for 3 hours. Well, that I didn't find out until later. But my family raced to get there. My sister was there, and they wouldn't let her in. And finally, I got in, but still didn't know what happened to my son. Long story short, about an hour after that, after getting there, doctor came in and told us that he had catastrophic injuries. And I didn't know why. And the doctor explained that he jumped from an overpass. And course, I was devastated, but they said they were working on him. So they allowed us to go back while they were working on him. And, of course, they could not stabilize him, and he passed away with us there, the family. And so
wow.
He
take your time, Karen.
He thank you. He passed away, and it was peaceful. But he left us that day, and honestly, I was just in shock. I felt like it was in a bad movie, like that you know, it was going to be over soon. But well, moving forward, the detail of how he passed away days later, things started to take a different turn because, and I, to correct you, because I know you're not aware of all, the whole story, Chinchilla, but there were many, many people, hundreds of people that were there witnessing this event for 3 years because they were stuck there. They were, people had gotten out of their cars. They were standing around the parking lots because they couldn't leave because the traffic was backed up. They had stopped everyone. And people were traumatized because of what they witnessed. And what they witnessed was my son was asking for help. I don't know why he was there in that part of town. All I can assume is that he was on his way to the hospital up there rather than downtown where he was, that he decided to go to the hospital there. I did find out that he did ride the bus and get off at Franklin Mills and that he was walking towards the hospital there. When I don't know what caused him to go up there. I will tell you that 23 people, if not more, reached out to me over the next few weeks after he passed and shared with me their stories and their heartbreak and their concern and what they witnessed. And it was those 23 people painted the picture for our family, not understanding why the crowd was screaming to the police to put something under him. The crowd was screaming to the police to call his family. No one had ever to this day called us. No one met us at the hospital. No one will return my calls. I'm jumping ahead, but the important part is my son, there's video that people sent me. I saw my son, and I saw when he dove off that bridge, that overpass, and I saw what he was facing. Instead of having the help there that he needed, he had police officers, which escalated to SWAT officers with dogs. You could hear the dogs barking. And guns. And he was not a threat. He wasn't under arrest. He hadn't broken any laws. He had removed his shirt. He was there for 3 hours. It was the first hot day of the year. He was up there so long that I noticed at the hospital he had sunburn on his face where his glasses were. He was there, standing there, crying out for help. He gave them his full name. You can hear it on the video. And his birthday. He said, "My name is Marcus Richard Boone, 1183. Somebody help me. They're trying to kill me." And he screamed throughout the day for his family. He asked for me. He asked for Bucks County Police. So that told me, why are you asking? You're in Philadelphia. Why would he be asking for Bucks County Police? Well, he was asking for them because obviously the that's where we're from, and he must not have felt comfortable with whatever he was dealing with up there. If it were not for these people who were traumatized that day, I wouldn't know these details. I wouldn't have these facts. And what it tells me is that there's also people that say that the police were assuming or were saying that he was homeless. I know now that that's true because, well, I know that that part was true because the second day after Marcus passed away, I had contacted the one officer that his name was on the sheet that I asked, that we asked the nurse which officers brought Marcus in, and they named this one officer, and the officer gave me a Detective Walsh and had me call him. I called Detective Walsh the following morning, and Detective Walsh said, oh, son, he was homeless. He was a homeless guy living in the encampment. He had a shopping cart. And I said, no, sir, I think you're talking about the wrong person. My son is not homeless, and he did not have a shopping cart, and he didn't live in an encampment. He said, oh, yeah, well, yes, he did. I was there. And I said, well, sir, I need you to please tell me, why was he up there? What happened? And the officer was very rude and said to me, well, obviously you've been dealing with this for 38 years. And I said, dealing with what? Well, he's a drug addict, or he has mental health issues, right? And I said, no, wait a second, sir. I can't believe you're saying this to me. I'm talking about my son. I'm asking you to tell me what happened to my son. You're classifying him, labeling him, and everything you're saying about him is incorrect. You don't know what you're talking about, you know. And I said, what happened? And he said, it was a valiant effort to save him. That's all I can tell you. It was a valiant effort to save him. And all of a sudden, he said, I can't do this no more, and he dove off the bridge. That's all I can tell you. And I said, I need somebody to walk me through the moments of my son's life. And he kept saying, I don't know what you want from me, ma'am. And I said, I want someone to walk me through my son's life, the last 3 hours of his life.
Wow.
And I said, what about body-worn cameras? What about 911 calls? What about police reports? How can I get this information? I want to know what happened to my son. I want to know why he was there. What was his issues? What happened? What were you saying to him? What was he saying to you? And he says, I don't know what you want a police report for. It's only going to have two lines on it. And if you want it, you're going to have to go down City Hall and get it. And he was matter-of-factly, he was very rude to me.
Very sickening, Karen.
It's Detective Walsh is his name. So it didn't get much better in the weeks after that when I, you know, attempted to call the captain and the lieutenant. And I personally went to the establishments around because I wasn't getting any help from the police. So I was going to the local businesses and asking questions, and people were talking to me and telling me what they remembered about that day. And from those things, I kept calling the police, and then I would say to them, well, I have people that have talked to me, and now I have videos, and I need somebody to talk to me. I want to talk to the captain. And I was told that the captain wasn't there. But I later found out in one of the videos that the captain was there. Every time I went to find answers, I got them on my own or from other people who cared, I found out more lies and more inconsistencies. So what I still say today is they criminalized my son's mental health issues, number one. They labeled my son. Son's an African-American man. You're in an all-white, prejudiced part of Northeast Philadelphia. They thought he was homeless and they treated him less than. But nonetheless, for 3 hours to be up there was certainly enough time to place a jump mat under him. I also found out that the police and fire training academy is on State Road, which is approximately a 9-minute drive from where Marcus was located. So certainly they had plenty of time to go get that apparatus and set it up. But for him not to have anything under him, no phone calls to the family, no one, they, the silence that I'm getting speaks volumes. The silence that they're giving me speaks volumes. There's no transparency, and there's no concern. And I will tell you this. I did find out that there were two mental health people called to the scene, and they were there on the sidelines, but they were told to stand down. And in every video, all you see is police officers just standing around. Police officers, I'm told, are going into Dunkin' Donuts and having coffee all morning and, you know, just walking back and forth, and like it just was nothing. And my son was up there asking for help.
Wow. This is so very heartbreaking, Karen. You know, this is absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, for them to behave that way and to not do their job, because they totally neglected to do their job with protecting and serving. It was their duty to protect Marcus, and they did not do that. They did not put down the proper apparatus in case he fell or he jumped. And, you know, like you said, and as I said in the opening, you know, here they are saying that he's homeless. So, yeah, they're going to treat him differently because they think he's a homeless black man in a racist neighborhood, as you said. And they're thinking he's homeless, he's black. In our neighborhood, hey, you know, so they didn't want to save Marcus because if they did, they could have. For 3 hours, I mean, 3 hours, and then to tell the mental health professionals to stand down? No, they should have stood down. The SWAT team should have stood down. No one should have had guns drawn out on Mark. And now no answers? Justice has to be served, people. People, wake up. Help Karen Brookins and her family fight for justice for Marcus, because she needs answers. And they're not giving her any answers as to what happened. Why didn't Marcus jump? You know, he was afraid of them. All those guns, you know, were they there whispering, saying something to him to cause him to jump? If someone is having a mental health crisis, you allow the mental health professionals to come and talk to them. Guns on them. I mean, this whole thing, Karen, is, wow, this is absolutely craziness. Craziness. But justice will... justice will happen, Karen, and for Marcus and for your family, because this is absolutely horrendous. This is absolutely ridiculous. It's just sad. It's just, oh, my God, it's just terrible. And everybody, I want you all to know, okay, so Karen, this is Karen's first time speaking about this publicly, about what happened to Marcus. And on Wednesday, we're going to do a podcast, and we're going to hear the whole story, and we're going to hear from other people that knew Marcus, and for anybody that has any information, anybody that was out there that day on the ledge, we want you to come as well, be on the podcast, and we're going to get answers. We're going to get answers, because the answers are there. Those cops, the SWAT team, they have the answers. And for that cop to say there would only be one line or two lines on a police report after Marcus was there for 3 hours, oh, he's insane. That whole 8th District Police Department that were out there that day, they all need to be fired. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And this has me so infuriated, Karen. But Marcus's year anniversary of his passing is this Saturday, everybody. This Saturday, upcoming Saturday, March the 18th. Karen, you want to quickly and briefly tell everybody about that, if people want to come and support you that day?
Thank you, Chinchilla. On Saturday, I'm going to arrive on Knights and Woodhaven Road, and I'm going to be at the site where Marcus was at 8:30 in the morning, and I'm going to sit there with, you know, for the 3 hours from 8:30 to 11:43, which is the time that he fell. And then I would like to release balloons in honor of him. I don't expect people to sit there for 3 hours with me or, you know, but if they want to come, bring signs, we'll release balloons. I'm going to play his favorite songs, you know, maybe have someone say a prayer and someone speak, you know, to bring awareness. The community itself there, there's so many people that I go there and I put flowers down and I clean up the area a lot along the road there. And people always beep the horn. Sometimes they stop and they say, I was here and I'm sorry. So the kindness of a lot of people do come out. So hopefully those people will be present, or, you know, there as well. But I'm going to be there. If my son could stand out there for 3 hours, I can stand out there for 3 hours to be there.
Yes.
To be
yes.
there. And that's what I want to do. And,
yes.
and I would like to honor him in that way. And so yes. if anybody would like to attend, that's where we will be. I did start a GoFundMe
okay.
page for Marcus for this event, just to help us. I would love to have a dove release, one dove at 11:43 in his honor. He turned 40 on New Year's Day also, so I would like to do that if possible. And so, you know, and then any if there's any money left over for that, we're trying to gather together money for his headstone. For his plot, so that
okay.
could go towards that. My ultimate goal, though, is to bring enough awareness in attacking the policy and procedures and the lack of following those during this time with Marcus, that this doesn't happen to anyone again. I also
yes.
am very excited about the structure of that bridge that he was on. The gate does not extend all the way to the end. Any child, any person like my son could get up there for any reason and accidentally fall. Anything could happen. It's a hazard, and I don't think that anyone should be allowed or able to get up there and be outside of that gate the way he was. So that's another thing that I would like to bring awareness to and to have changed as well.
Okay.
His honor, because
wow.
I did notice that children walk along that road to and from school.
Mm.
And so
wow.
I understand
wow, that's
that
crazy.
Marcus and the parish from that overpass.
Mm. Wow. Well, Karen, thank you so much for sharing Marcus's story tonight. And again, my heart just goes out to you. We're going to take a couple callers that may want to speak to you tonight. And again, everybody, Saturday, Karen will be out there. And what time again, Karen? Are you going to be out there?
From 8:30 to 12. So if anyone wants to stop
by. From 8:30 to 12.
Yes.
Nice and Woodhaven Roads, everybody. And blue and white balloons. Wow, this is just ridiculous. I will be there, Karen. I will be there. I'm sure Vince will be there as well. and a few others that we're going to bring out there to support. Wow, my heart goes out to you. We're going to take a couple callers, and wow, caller, you're live on air with News Forum. How are you tonight? Caller, you're live on the air. Okay.
All right. Well, all right. Well, you know what? No, no other callers, Chinchilla. We're going to go right into Ngozi time to have your final thoughts. But I want to thank all the folks that counted that robbery tonight to be a part of this outstanding program. Now, of course, I'm going to change precedent in our network history. A lot of times our hosts go through their shows, and I'm hoping that they don't wait for a championship to be announced by a fellow host. No, I want you guys to be able to just do your show. If you have a championship, I will announce it from now on. So that way we have a continuity and a professionalism that is bar none when it comes down to internet radio broadcasting. So for the first time in that precedent, I'm going to announce congratulations to Dr. Chinchilla J, the 2021 WBNN Linear New Host of the Year, the 2022 WBN Host of the Year with the Anna Waddell Award for Excellence, or her 79th WBNN Beverly Nation All-Time Connection Record and fourth consecutive with the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship, honoring our late, great Hall of Famer. We have a lot of problems these days with economic injustice. That poor boy Karen talked about, no one took the time to help him. The poor boy that Denise talked about, no one took the time to guide him home safely. These are tragedies in our American communities. That's happening right now. Some child is taking his life right now. Some child is out with the wrong people at the wrong time or whatever. Something happened. We must fix these egregious actions. No matter who they are, our community has to step up and step out, and we must do better. Because the life you save might be your own. Tomorrow night, right here on this outstanding story network, we have a young lady. Her name is Genesis Amaris Kemp, and the name of the show is Gems. First, you know, I want to thank all the folks that count on Robbie to listen to our show. So listen to Genesis tomorrow night, 9:30 Eastern, daylight time right here on the story WBNN. We are Beverly Nation. We have advertising to Ngozi Time Multimedia. We have Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time. Ola Dele Malay, Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions for our wonderful program tonight? Oh, late day lay, that goes with my and gmail.com. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer. Ola Dele Malay, Ngozi saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. I want to thank all the folks that try to get in. When I do Ngozi time, that's it. So we need everybody to press one before I do it. And now back to our fifth reigning commissioner, the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
All right. Thank you so much, Brother O. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to thank my guest tonight. And we're going to bring Denise back on so she can give her closing remarks. And everybody, on Thursday, this Thursday at 7 p.m., Denise and her family will be on the Mike Tester Entertainment TV news special for a podcast on the death of her son, Kyle Singleton. And Wednesday night will be Karen Brookins' podcast. She will be on, again, talking about the death of Marcus Boone. And these two women, everybody, I need you to stand behind them, support both of these women. Both of their GoFundMes will be up on the Mike Tester Entertainment TV's Facebook page tomorrow. And information also about Saturday's event for Marcus. And I need you guys to support. And we're going to bring on Pastor Mays in a few moments. First, we're going to have 30 seconds of closing remarks from both of my guests tonight. Denise, what are your closing remarks tonight?
I would like to say, Dr. Chinchilla, thank you for having me. I would like to give my condolences to Karen And I'm there for you, Karen. I have to work Wednesday, but I will donate to your GoFundMe tomorrow. And if it's okay with you, I'll ask Dr. Chinchilla for your phone number. And thanks again, Dr. Chinchilla. Looking forward to Thursday.
Yes, and thank you so much, Denise. God bless you and your family. All right, Karen, your final remarks.
Okay, I want to follow Denise, and I want to thank you, Chinchilla, for this opportunity. Denise, I welcome you getting my information, my contact information, and I thank you so very much for your kindness despite your own pain. I will also listen to your podcast on Thursday and support you in any way that I can. I just would like everyone to continue to keep both of our families in prayer, remembering also that mental health is not a crime. Police are not mental health experts, and both of our families deserve answers. Thank you.
Yes, they definitely do. Thank you so much, Karen. And, you know, everybody, it's just such a shame because, like I said, they handle it totally wrong. And this upcoming week on both podcasts, we'll be able to talk more about each of these tragedies. And Philadelphia, you must do better. The people, the citizens in this city must do better, as well as citizens around this country who go through what these two wonderful women are going through right now. These mothers, they're grieving. They're hurting. And they demand justice and they demand answers and they need that. I mean, that's what they deserve. Answers, and they deserve justice, everybody. So I'm not even going to talk anymore. I am like really upset with what has happened in both of these families, to both of these families. So right now I'm going to bring on my dear friend, Pastor Francetta Mays, who is the president of the Tulsa, Oklahoma NAACP, to pray for both of these mothers and their families tonight, Pastor Mays, and say whatever you would like to say as well, and definitely pray for these families.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. Ladies, there are no words that anyone will ever be able to say that will close the gap of your assignment. And I use that term assignment because the life that you both carried in your womb was for a season. And now, because of those lives, you've been thrusted and propelled into your purpose. Never give up on your purpose. What's happened is that people have not arrived yet in situations that actually get them in their root and help them to understand that there's a world of brokenness out here. And each one of us have an assignment that we have to get to. There are things that we have to grow through. And I just encourage you all to continue to fight. Continue to fight with everything that you have, because God is going to cover you. Just continue to fight and don't give up, because these laws have got to change. We've got to get more collaborative within what our and redefine what community looks like. Community is not going to be family and friends. I've had to learn that the hard way when I lost my grandson. So please stay encouraged, stay on your knees, and just know that God is going to see you through this, but you're going to make a difference because your passion for your loved one. It's going to make sure that you keep making noise until you make a difference. Now, I'm just going to ask all the listeners to please clear your minds, because what's imperative is that we go to God in prayer, but we have to have our minds in a state of repentance, repenting for our sins, those seen and unseen. And there's no condemnation in Christ. So if you're a believer, according to Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation. So just ask right now for repentance. Where we're going, we've got to go into a holy of holy place. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for being our Alpha and our Omega. We thank you for giving us a scapegoat, God, that it doesn't matter what our thoughts, our sins, seen or unseen are. You've already forgiven us for any and everything, any thought, thing that we've done Father God, you've already forgiven us with the confession that comes from our mouth. Now, Father God, as we come before you, we need answers. God, we need you to roll the stone over. God, we need for you to penetrate those courtrooms. God, we need for you to go into those district attorney's offices. God, we need for you to go into these communities and stir up the gifts of those people that say they are retired. God, we want you to stir up the gifts of those family members that turn a blind eye because they feel like they don't have time or that's somebody else's problem. God, right now we're asking for a special anointing to come and for us to realize that we are they, and without you, we are nothing. God, we ask that you just dispatch your angels in the name of Jesus right now over these families that are hurting, not just in Philadelphia, all over, Father God. There is terror rising in the land. God, send your generals. Send your people that's not afraid of the front line. Send your generals to make some noise. Send your generals to make a difference, God. There's no big eyes or little U's, God. Let us get on one accord and continue to bless Dr. Chinchilla and Dr. God. God, for the platform that they are giving people, God. We just thank you, and we ask that there are all resources, God, that will cover what this family needs, that covers what this station needs, to cover what our purpose and assignment is, oh God. We know that we just need to learn to trust you and to hear your voice. And I now seal this prayer in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. In the matchless name of Jesus, thank you so much, Pastor Mays. Thank you so much for that heartfelt prayer. Awesome. And everybody, please keep in mind that, you know, these days and times, as long as we're on this earth, we're going to be warring spiritual battles, fleshly battles that some people war, but we want to definitely try our best to remain humble, remain in the spirit of God and be led by his spirit and not by our flesh. And again, my favorite scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, where God talks about what we wrestle against in verse 12, where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And this is what we deal with every day, the spiritual wickedness in high places, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, the principalities. This is what we're dealing with, people, and we have to keep that in mind and fight accordingly. And yes, justice will be served for both Kyle and for Marcus and their family. Thank you so much, Denise and Karen, for coming on to News Forum and sharing your beloved son's stories. Wow, it's just really crazy, everybody. But definitely make sure you support these women. Again, follow Mike Tester Entertainment TV's Facebook page. That's MICTEST Entertainment TV, all separate words. Both GoFundMes will be up on that page tomorrow, if not tonight. And the podcast will also be on that page on Wednesday and Thursday for both ladies. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And I invite you to donate to Be a Voice and Right the Wrong Coalition, everybody, so that we can continue to bring these stories of injustices. No matter what the injustice is, we will help you fight for justice and expose the perpetrators, which is always, more than likely, our legal system and the people that are supposed to uphold the law. And it's just such a shame. But remember, everybody, to always be a voice, not by mistake, but be a voice on purpose. Now, take a listen to how you can donate to Be a Voice. And you can always call me Monday through Friday, 844-642-8378, extension 888. Take a listen and remember to be a voice. Have a great week.
Would you like to donate to a good cause? Well, Right the Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice could use your support. help them continue to expand their advocacy work for justice as they fight for freedom for the wrongfully incarcerated, exoneration, compensation, and juvenile lifers as they stand and fight against mass incarceration, over-sentencing, wrongful convictions, gentrification, racial inequities, racism, and to change legislation throughout this country by rebirthing this criminal justice system one city at a time through their model, Criminal Justice Reborn. You may donate to Be a Voice via Cash App, $ Be a Voice Tour. That's capital BEAVOICE, lowercase TOUR. You may also donate via Venmo at www.venmo.com/u/ capital BEAVOICE. Venmo.com/u/BAVOICE. For more information or to find out how to become a part of Be a Voice or join Right the Wrong Coalition, dial 844-642-8378, extension 111. If you would like to be a guest on News Forum and have a case of injustice, please give me a call Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. at 844-642-8378 to tell me about your story. And you might just be News Forum's next special guest.
I can conquer anything, and it's still by the grace of God. Still have hope. I've come through worse before, but I have never walked alone. I've been